Today we have with us a YouTuber who is an avid outdoor adventurer who also enjoys reviewing beer. Her videos take you kayaking, through hiking, and a life on the road. Maddie from Beer in Beautiful Places, welcome to Papa Bear Hikes.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
And Maddie, I've watched some of your YouTubes because I'm in my free time. I'm a bit of a YouTube junkie, and yours got my attention. I said, wow, you know, you kind of do a little bit of everything. And that falls within the theme of what we do here with this podcast. It's called Papa Bear Hikes, but we cover all sorts of outdoor adventures. So that sort of, you know, that got my attention. I started watching your videos and I thought Maddie would make a great guest on this podcast, really fit in with the theme of what we do here.
Well, thank you. I'm glad.
Maddie, let's start by you telling us a little bit about you.
Well, I grew up in a pretty outdoorsy family. So we went on a lot of day hikes and camping trips. And then, you know, once I graduated college, I got a seasonal job. And since then, it's been a lot of going here or there, traveling across the U.S. and internationally, and just trying to do it all, see it all, really enjoy being outside and seeing the natural beauty of different places. And then I started doing YouTube as a way to kind of share that, and the rest is history. It's been great ever since.
And so your motivation to start the YouTube channel, because that was going to be my next question, what was the motivation behind that? Was you just felt like you wanted to share this? You wanted other people to see how much fun you were having and maybe what's out there for other people?
Definitely. I had a negative impression of social media and especially YouTube to begin with, because you know, I was there, I was alive as it started, and it just seemed very disingenuine for a while. Very much just trying to get subscribers and show something cool. But then during the pandemic in 2020, I started working really hard on an Instagram I had. And I was like, if you want to have a very natural and like down to earth and just less influencery, I guess, approach to things, you can. And yeah, I just try to keep it real, keep it honest. And my love of that, doing that on Instagram and actually making real connections with people, was what led me to think, okay, what other social networks are out there? And I think YouTube is the best of all, because you really can show people, take them on a story, and just it shows more. There's so much more you can create with it.
Maddie, I want to say it's a little bit more than that. There are people who are naturally very good at it, and I'll put you in that category, because there are people out there that just fall flat, and you know, I struggle with it. It is. I mean, some people are just very good at it, very good appearance in the camera. And I mean, you know, they're able to handle themselves and give quality content, because there are still a lot of YouTubers out there where, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm critiquing or talking down about other YouTubers, but yeah, that you either, number one, feel like they're pushing their products on you, or two, it's just kind of flat. Yeah.
Hard to find that balance.
Yeah. And you keep your videos fun and interesting.
Oh, thank you. I'm really glad.
And Matt, you've covered a lot of different types of outdoor adventures on your YouTube channel. Do you have a favorite type of thing you like to do in the outdoors? Biking, kayaking, hiking?
That's a hard one. I guess it would have to be hiking, because I do the most of that. I guess backpacking, to be more specific, because then, you know, when you're staying out there, it just feels so much more of an immersion. You know, you get into a whole different headspace. And so I would say backpacking, but I don't know. I haven't found the perfect length of a trip yet, because you know, a few days doesn't feel as significant. The AT definitely, that was the longest trip I've ever been on. So that was pretty extreme. I've been on trips that are like a few weeks at a time. And I don't know, maybe those are the best because then you really feel like you're fully in the experience, but there's just more of a light at the end of the tunnel. Although I will go on more long distance hikes in the beginning, but if I have to pick one favorite, it would be backpacking for a few weeks at a time.
And I've talked about this with several backpackers that I've had on the podcast. Now, I've done a lot of backpacking in my life, multi-week backpacking. I never hiked the AT, but I've never been out for more than 3 weeks at a time. But yeah, there's just, yeah, more of a just sense of being in touch, or as you said, an immersion with nature when you're out there. Mm-hmm. I sometimes refer to it as a sense of liberation because you're out there by yourself.
Yeah, definitely. Right? Working,
functioning and moving on your clock at your mm-hmm. pace.
Yeah, you feel so disconnected and freed from everything.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. No, what year did you hike the AT?
This year, 2023.
Okay. So yeah, we had a few of our guests were AT through hikers this year. We have every year we have a family. It's a virtual tramly, and we had two people of our group finish. We had two that had to get off for different reasons. So this was an interesting year to be out on the AT. That's why I ask.
Mm-hmm.
Were you a northbounder?
Yep, northbound. There are some people that will listen to this knowing my channel, and I want to put a disclaimer saying I did not walk perfectly all the miles. I skipped like a few miles at a time here and there. I aquablazed instead of hiking the Shenandoahs. So just putting that disclaimer out there, I'm not a true through hiker, according to some people, but I did go Georgia to Maine out there in the elements, walking the vast majority of the trail.
Yeah, that's this whole, every step, touching every blaze, maybe get a little carried away with that, right?
Yeah,
you traveled from Georgia to Maine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, so you missed a mile here or there. You still did something most people are never going to do in their lives.
Yep, agreed. That's how I see it too. It's about the experience, not the exactness of it.
Right. Now, what made 2023 unique is as you got further north in July, it was a lot of rain.
Mm-hmm. Right? There sure was.
Yeah, I was in the Adirondacks when all that rain started coming down. I had to cut my trip short this year and got home, and I saw what happened in Harriman State Park in New York, Bear Mountain Bridge, that area.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Were you affected by any of the heavy rain on your hike?
Well, I started the end of March. So it seemed to me like I did miss kind of a lot of the big rain. I was definitely... When I went through Bear Mountain, you were supposed to do a road walk around Bear Mountain, New York, I should say. And what else? So that was Bear Mountain. I heard in Vermont there were such heavy floodings that the ATC said it still counts as a through hike if you don't do Vermont. But it really wasn't that bad for me, so I missed that part. However, when I was in Maine, which is September and the beginning of October, Hurricane Lee, I think it was, came through, and that caused a lot of flooding for us. I was inside during the actual hurricane part. Looking outside, there might have just been a bit of wind, but what really affected the part of the trail I was on was all that rain that came afterwards.
Yeah, one of our hikers that we were following this year, and she's kind of been flip-flopping on her hike, and she's still out there. I think she's finishing up this month.
Oh, cool.
I think she might be in Georgia now, possibly, but she was in Maine when that was going on. Hurricane Lee, same time.
Uh-huh.
And she knew there was a lot of rain, and she went to sleep that night. She was in camp with a few people and got out of her tent the next morning, and there was this log they were supposed to cross to get over the stream, and it was gone. It was gone in the sense that it was underwater.
Wow.
That's how hard the rain was coming down.
Yeah. I bet. It was scary out there.
Now, you've also hiked some other trails, like the John Muir Trail. You've been on that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now, I'm kind of, I've grew up in the Northeast. Most of my hiking's been here, but a couple of years ago I went out and did the Tahoe Rim Trail, and I kind of feel like I've got to get back out there because it's so unique. I mean, well, yeah. To me, I mean, if you grew up out there, this would be unique, hiking the long trail mm-hmm. or the AT, but what a different experience, right?
Yeah, definitely. I've actually done the Tahoe Rim Trail too before I started my channel, so that's really cool.
Yeah, I liked it so much I'm considering going back out in 2024.
Nice. It's great.
If I don't get a Wonderland Trail permit, that's definitely on my radar. So let's move on to something else that you and I have in common. Beer.
Mm-hmm. Ah, awesome.
So do you have a tradition with your beer? My hiking buddies and I, we always go out, we look for a craft brewery. And I guess we're kind of beer snobs at this point, you can say. But nice. How about you, though? Do you have any kind of ritual you have with after your hikes or your adventures?
When I was going on a road trip to all the states in the lower 48, living in my van, I would make sure I found a beer that was made in that state. So sometimes it was as easy as, you know, going to the grocery store and getting it, going to the brewery itself and picking up some cans. So there were a few states where beer was less popular, or craft beer was less popular. So that was, you know, had to really search for that, but that just made it all the more fun. And so I would either go out on an adventure and bring a beer with me, if it seemed like it was allowed there, you know, don't want to break any rules. But, and if not on the adventure, I would have it after the adventure. I had a fridge in my van, luckily. So I had a nice cold beer afterwards, and that was just always so cool. Such a good way to celebrate.
It is. It's, like I said, it's something my friends and I do now, and it's as much a part of the, it's as much fun as the hike itself, it feels like, right?
Yeah, you know, for definitely.
Us, you know, we get off the trail, or even sometimes on the way to our hike, we're on our phone saying, okay, where's a craft brewery that we could stop at on the way home? You know, what's the closest one to the trail we're on?
That's awesome. Sounds like fun.
How many different states, do you know off the top of your head, how many different states you've tasted beer in at this point?
Yeah, that would be 49, everywhere except Alaska. I mean,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So, yeah, so all the lower 48 you've had a beer in. Okay.
Yeah. And then I went up to Alaska the winter after that to kind of celebrate. So that was really cool.
That is great. Now, okay, this is kind of a loaded question, or maybe even very controversial. Might get both of us some hate mail here, but do you have a favorite?
let's see. It's really hard to say because a lot of them are, you know, so good. They're all so different. I like them for different reasons. But I think of that road trip, the favorite one I had was Skygazer Sour. It was in Connecticut, and it tasted like a sweet tart. It was so good. It was raspberry flavor, the one I had. A really pretty looking beer too. It was kind of purplish, and I think that would have to be my favorite.
We'll be back after a quick break.
You ever think about what might be in the water you're drinking every time you fill up your water bottles while you're in the outdoors? I try not to, and I really don't, because I use Sawyer water filters. The Sawyer filter technology, because of their high standards, every filter is individually tested 3 times through the process. I've been using their permethrin product for years now to protect me from, well, quite frankly, ticks, and the picaridin to keep the flies at bay. Don't let bad water, insects, or a tick bite cut your trip short or even ruin it. Use Sawyer products. Go to your local outdoor retailer and ask for Sawyer products, whether it's a water filter, insect repellent, they're likely to have it. You can also go to Sawyer's website and read more about these incredible, high-quality products that they offer those of us who enjoy the outdoors.
When you're in a situation where you're not having to go to the grocery store looking for a craft beer or a local beer, what's your go-to type of beer? Like if you're in a craft brewery and you have a big menu.
Mm-hmm. Good question, because I'm always trying to find something new. A lot of times I'll just ask which of these are produced closest to here, because, you know, I get to go so many cool places. I guess if I had to have a one to fall back on, it would be Hazy Little Thing by Sierra Nevada. If I'm out somewhere and just I want something that I know I like, that's what I look for.
I'm out here in the Northeast, grew up in New Jersey, live in New York now. So if you can recall, because, you know, 48, it's a lot of different places to stop. I'm not sure I could remember them all if I did them all on one trip. Mm-hmm. Do you remember New Jersey, what you liked?
New Jersey was the one where I went for a hike, and then I was going to take a ferry to Delaware. And just before the ferry was supposed to leave, I found the nearest brewery to that. I was kind of cutting it close, but it was called Gusto Brewing, if that sounds familiar, or Gusto. But that was really good. I asked, what is the most New Jersey beer here? And the bartender chose one. He thought very carefully about it. He chose one that he said it's a little bit sweet and a little bit sour. Sometimes you meet people in New Jersey that are sweet, sometimes they're sour. So that was really cool. New York, that was Leaf Peeper Supreme. I don't remember the brewery, but it was a can that like had the Bavarian flag for Oktoberfest, and then like had different, you know, fall leaves on it. I was up there in the fall, so that was a really cool part of the adventure too.
Yeah, it is beautiful up here in the fall. Definitely a beautiful place to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you did all this traveling in your van. Tell us a little bit about the van and van life.
Sure. It was a minivan. I decided that a bigger van was a little more expensive, both in the initial cost and then insuring it and fueling it. So I got a minivan because it was just going to be me traveling by myself. I built out I have a cot size bed, which is a little smaller than a twin. I have a like storage cubby place that I have like my dishes and just like any random thing. Food, I call it my kitchen, but there's that. That was the actual parts that we built. And then I got a, if you picture a cooler, but it plugs into something. And when you open it up, there's a fridge section and a freezer section. So that's probably the most high-tech part of it. There's solar panels on the roof I got installed. And my favorite part is there is a space where I can either lift up a small part of the floor and get into a storage space underneath, or if I take the fridge and freezer out, a even bigger trapdoor opens, and I have a lot of space for my backpacking supplies and different things I don't need every day that get stored underneath.
It amazes me what people are doing with minivans, right?
Yeah.
Because I've seen your setup, and I said, people can fit so much into that little space, right? If you just, and how much time did it take you to figure all that out? Because that, you know, it's not something you just say, right? You just kind of whip together. I mean, had to take you some time to really think about how you were going to lay that out, the whole planning.
Definitely. I spent most of the year 2020 daydreaming. And then I actually started working on it in, I think, the beginning of March of 2021. And then took it out for good on the end of May. So about 3 months total.
It must have felt great getting it out on the road for the first time after putting all that work. After seeing it go from a dream to putting it on the road. That must have felt great.
It was exhilarating. Such a cool feeling.
So, Maddie, you have any upcoming videos that you're working on now? Are you just kind of, taking it easy for a while?
Well, there is always, I try to do a new video every single week on my channel. And so many people have asked for informational videos about my time on the AT, or I guess every now and then someone suggests it. Really, it's more like I have been thinking about what I wish I knew while I was hiking. All that time spent You know, just alone with my thoughts, walking along, I thought about what I would say to prepare someone else. And so I'm doing a lot of informational videos right now. What I'm most excited for is I'm going to make a documentary about my time on the AT. I've really thought of a lot of ways to get creative with that. I feel like it's kind of like a lot of people who walk the AT and do a documentary. So I tried to put my own creative touch on it a bit, and I'm hoping to get it out in January, but I haven't really made as much progress at this point as I was hoping. Just I'm trying to move somewhere. There's a lot of things that keep coming up where I don't get as much work done in a day as I would like. And so I'm hoping to get that out in January, but we'll see.
Well, something to keep you busy over the winter, that's for sure.
Definitely.
I want to go back to your AT hike again.
Mm-hmm.
While you were out there, you were solo hiking. My listeners would never forgive me if I didn't at least ask this question of you. Did you have any interesting animal encounters or scary moments while you were out there?
Let's see. I think, I forget what state it was in. I think one of the mid-Atlantic states. Maybe, I want to say Massachusetts, even though it's technically New England now. But anyway, it wasn't all the way as north as Vermont. It wasn't south as Virginia. Somewhere in there, I thought I saw a wildcat. But it was pretty far away, and everyone was kind of like, what is that, you know? It's pretty big, but it's also unrecognizable. So I think that was probably the coolest one. Oh, wait, I did see a bear. Two times I saw a bear. Everything was okay both times, but it was fun because the first time it was just pretty far away. I was walking with someone else and I wasn't really scared because he was actually pretty ahead of me. So he saw it first. He started talking in a low voice like you're supposed to. And it seemed like it was already running away by the time I got up there. So that wasn't really scary. There was a time I was walking by myself and I just happened to look to my left and there was a bear. And it was so cool because we made eye contact and I was like scared, but so like amazed too to see this big, beautiful animal. And it didn't like lunge at me or anything. So I wasn't really scared, but I was like, okay, you're not supposed to just like stand there and take pictures. So I, it was next to me, so I walked backwards on the trail to start going away from it. And, you know, eventually it just wandered away. I think it was eating berries. And, you know, once it realized I'm just a human, I'm just a hiker, it was just kind of like, oh, okay, back to business, right. Eating these berries.
Right. You weren't a threat to it. You weren't going to hurt the bear. Yep. And it went about its business. You know, it's strange. After that, how'd you feel? I know after I, you know, like when I had my first, I'd say bear encounter, or at least as close to an encounter as you can have, I kind of felt a little relaxed after that. I kind of walked away saying, hey, you know what? It's not as scary as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, me too. I felt really connected with nature. Really, just like in the thick of the experience being out there in the wilderness. And just, I thought it was just the coolest experience ever.
Right. Yeah. Because we could scare ourselves into the whole idea, well, there's bears out there, you know, and then, you know, going overboard, we're preparing ourselves for what if we see a bear? And then, you hear about these bear encounters and you forget about the fact that, you know, very rarely somebody is mauled by a black bear. Right. It's easy to forget about all that.
But,
and again, it's that connectivity when you're out there, right? And maybe it's about confronting your fears as well, right?
Yeah.
That once you've confronted it and come out on the other side and said, that was okay.
Very true. Yeah, definitely. Not that scary at all.
On the AT, did you have any favorite places or any states that you liked more than others?
Ooh, well, in general, I personally enjoyed the beginning half better than the end. The northern part was definitely more scenic. But it was also really challenging for me because my body was just so worn down at that point, and I was really slow going over all the different rocky obstacles. And you know, there's a lot of times you do hand over hand climbing on the AT, and I didn't really realize that. So really challenged there. And the northern section, I enjoyed the south more because it was the beginning of the trail. Everyone was excited. Everyone was like meeting each other. And it's just such a cool feeling to be like, wow, we're both going on. We're both buckling into this huge adventure of our lifetimes. And so I liked the beginning. To be more specific, if people ask me my favorite part, it would be the Rhone Highlands. I saw it. I was going through there on a foggy day, and I can't wait to go back and see it and like be able to see in the distance.
If I finish up the AT, I'm about a third of the way. I've done about a third of the trail. But I think if I get back to it, I want to go down to Virginia, because that seems to be like, at the, you know, and everybody lists their favorite places. The Rhone Highlands always seem to be in that top three. If there's a place people go back to after they've hiked it, it's like, I want to go back there because it was so much fun.
Awesome. I love that.
Now with the van, any plans to go back out and hit the road in the van after the winter?
Yeah, definitely. That is my rough plan for now. That's definitely something I want to do next year, because when I think about how many adventures I want to do in the next like 5 or 10 years, a lot of them are international and a lot of them are through hiking. So I don't really want to hang on to that van from like excuse me. I don't want to hold on to that van for too much longer and not be using it. So I'm like, okay, I'll go for one big adventure in the van, and then I'll probably sell it so I can use those funds to go on other adventures and someone else can be enjoying it instead of it sitting in my driveway.
Any challenge? Like, we're big on getting ice cream too. Ice cream and beer. I don't know if you ever tried that combination, but it's actually good to have a beer and then stop and get an ice cream. But I'm thinking to myself, hey, could there be the next challenge here of ice cream in every state, all 48, lower 48 states?
Fun. Yeah, maybe.
And I'm not saying seeking out convenience store or supermarket store. I mean, you know, make it a real challenge. I'm going to find some locally produced ice cream.
That would be fun, especially when they have like flavors that are specific to the state, like Huckleberry or Maine blueberries or stuff like that.
Yeah.
Seafood for New England. Just kidding.
Try the cuisine in every state. Find a cuisine that's local, that's unique to every state.
Mm-hmm.
It just sounds like a lot of fun. And I just admire your sense of adventure. You said you have some other trails you'd like to do more through hiking. Are there any long distance trails you're looking at this point? Now, I realize you've got other things on your plate, like this documentary you're working on, but any long trails you're looking at?
Yeah, the PCT, I've been, it was like a few days after the AT, I started looking up videos of the PCT, just kind of in the daydream phase still, just looking at it, learning. But I don't know. At the same time, I might. I'm also interested in the Camino de Santiago over in Spain. There's just so much out there I want to do, but I think those are probably most likely the ones I might do next.
It's like an onion. There's so many trails I want to hike here. And, I talk to people who have done Caminos. They've done the French way. They've done the Portuguese way. And I talked to a gentleman this morning who talked about his hiking through Japan and visiting all these Buddhist temples. And and it's like, there's not enough time to do them all. Where am I going to start?
Yeah. So true. But it's a good problem to have.
Yes. And it keeps us occupied, right? It's right. Reality can stink sometimes. Let's face it. There's a lot of crappy things going on around us. So it's kind of a nice little escape to pick a trail, do some research on it, look up some YouTubes. At least that's what it works for me. Maddie, if we your YouTube channel, how can we find you?
It's Beer in Beautiful Places. Try to do a video once a week, every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Sometimes more, every now and then.
And how about on social media?
Everything is Beer in Beautiful Places. I am also on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook.
Well, everybody, make sure you check out Maddie's YouTube and her social media. You might not be able to do the 48 state challenge, but you might be inspired to get out and do some more, you know, make it part of your hike to go out and do something unique. If you don't drink, maybe it's like we were just talking about, maybe it's the cuisine, maybe it's ice cream, but mix a little something into your outdoor adventures. And Maddie, that was one of the things, as I said in the beginning, I liked your adventure wasn't just, I'm hitting a trail and going from this shelter to this shelter and I ate this morning. No, you make your adventures fun, and I like that.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
And Maddie, I want to thank you again for coming on and sharing this with us and hopefully inspiring some people. So everybody, make sure you check out Maddie's channels, as I said.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been a blast.
Same here. Everybody, get outside, have some fun, and at least do your best to be safe. Thanks for listening. If you haven't done so yet, go to our website, papabearhikes.com. Listen to past episodes. Check us out on social media. Go to our YouTube channel, Martin Outside. All those links are there. In addition to that, you can buy our book or see what you're missing out on if you're not a Patreon member yet. Remember to get outside, have fun, and be safe. This episode of Papa Bear Hikes has been brought to you by Avalon Publicity. Avalon Publicity, increasing the digital footprint of content creators and skilled professionals via website development and social media services. For more information about Avalon Publicity, go to their website, avalonbusiness.org. That's avalonbusiness.org.